Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where we are the voice of the professional fan. Tonight is super exciting. We have a guest, everyone's favorite. We just love her. Absolutely. Andrea's in the house from Clubhouse.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
A proper introduction in a second. As you guys know, I'm always joined here by my co-host. We have Money Mike over here on the right. How you feeling?
I'm good. Let's ready to do the show.
Are you sure you're good?
Man, you know what? We're going to talk about these Lakers and how they ruined the season.
Okay, you were like all gung-ho about Andrea coming here thinking she all got
We'll
because see how that goes.
Because, right? See, the rumor was when I talked to her earlier in the week, she was saying that she was about to get in on LeBron, and then she get here and she calling me a hater. On LeBron.
So. All right. We'll get to that in a second. Stat Pat, how you feeling, my man?
I'm feeling good, man. Despite all about what's going on with the Lakers, I'm feeling good. Like I said, it's Red Solo Cup kind of night.
Red Solo Cup night.
We're doing it big.
Exactly.
And classy. Very classy.
With no further ado, and of course, let's just introduce her right away here. Let's introduce Andrea. How you doing, Andrea?
Hi, hey. I'm good, Jeff. I'm good. Can't be any better. Probably.
Maybe a little bit better, but thank you so much for coming back to our new studio here in Infinity Studios.
It is beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's get right into it, guys. Let's get started with exactly what we're all talking about, the elephant in the room, the Lakers.
Is it an elephant?
It's an elephant, Doug. We ain't making the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Lakers appear now to be dropping out of the play-in contention. That was somewhat unheard of when we had Trevor Lane on the show, Money Mike.
Right.
He said basically that just couldn't happen because the other teams weren't even trying to win.
Yeah.
Well, the Lakers appear to be trying to lose or something, guys. Money Mike, they are now out of the play-in. And if I recall, you made a bet with Monday Night Fredo's host, Fredo Cervantes. Is that right?
Yeah. I made a bet saying that the Lakers would not be in the playoff. Playing, you know, and at the time, I thought that you had to be at least at the ninth seed to be in the play-in to be able to go ahead and actually be able to play and have a chance. Then I realized after I made the bet, you know, that you could actually make the play-in in the 10th seed. I was like, okay, maybe we won't drop below 10. But unfortunately, and I'm not happy about it, my prediction is correct. And now it's like we have four more games left. We pretty much have to win all four of those games.
And need help.
And we need, like, and I think San Antonio to lose three. Like, it's all these scenarios that we have to have in order for us to win. And, you know, it's just really unfortunate. Like, AD came back. I appreciate the effort. But what is that going to do? Like,
apparently, you know, it's done nothing.
Right.
Let's get right to our guest.
And our guy, you know, against the Pelicans, who we're kind of fighting for a playoff spot, didn't even hit the rim on the last shot. But, you know.
You're a hater.
Let's go. I can't wait. Okay. Go ahead. You've been here for a little bit. You've been hearing Money Mike talk before the show. I think you're kind of ready. You know where he stands.
He's a hater.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and
get. Why am I a hater? I'm literally stating the facts.
Okay, first and foremost, you like to hate on LeBron for every little thing that the Lakers do wrong. Not everything includes LeBron. okay? First and foremost, I've never seen somebody in their 19th going on 20th year lead the league in scoring, right? Even though your team is trash, he's putting forth the effort himself, right? And then you're going to argue, oh, but he's not playing defense. When in God's green earth have you seen LeBron put forth the effort diving on the floor when season first starts? He saves his energy, which is smart. That's how seasoned players are. Kobe did the same. It's a lot of cherry picking. But I feel like just because we're Kobe fans, we got to hate on LeBron. Oh, and he's not a winner, right? We talked about that off air. He's not a winner. I hope they got smoke for you, because at the end of the day, you're literally charging the wall on this one. You're okay, literally charging the wall.
Pat,
on this
I need some
one.
Help. I need some help with you.
Oh,
I'm just going to ask you. LeBron's not a winner, bro.
Okay, this isn't a game show. So you're like,
Stat Pat. Okay, so I just have a question
call
for you.
Call Jesus.
Okay. I have a question for
yes.
you. Do we remember a couple of years ago?
Yes.
When LeBron got hurt and he was out for, you know,
the first
20,
year.
20, yeah, 2030. 20 about what was it 20 some games whatever
yeah.
And we were in the ninth spot. There were 21 games left, and LeBron said that he's about to go in playoff mode.
Right,
he's about to go in playoff mode.
Yeah,
and I'm like, all right, LeBron, we're going to playoff mode. That means that we're going to make the playoffs, you know. And we got 21. We were literally what, 2.5 games out of the AFC.
Yeah,
we had 21 games left. LeBron was going in playoff mode.
Yeah.
I think we should have made the playoffs.
We should have made the playoffs.
Right. Right. Because right. I think if any player, Kobe, Jordan,
So who are you naming? First and foremost, let's put our basketball IQ, basketball 101 on the line, right? Kobe is a shooting guard. So what you expect for him to do when the back's against the wall, what do you expect him to do? Shoot. That's what he gets paid for, right? Okay. So we know LeBron is a point forward, right? Okay. So when you have him in the crunch time, you're looking for him to make the right pass. If he's the right shot, he'll take it. You're expecting Kobe out of Bron, and that's the problem that we keep having with every LeBron hater. You're expecting Mamba mentality from somebody who doesn't think to shoot first. And that's okay.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Who's second in all-time league in scoring?
LeBron right now.
Okay, so obviously this dude, but who is leading the league in scoring right now?
LeBron.
Okay, so now we're talking about somebody who's leading the league in scoring, who's second all-time in the list, and now we're talking about he don't want to have a shoot-first mentality in order to win a game?
He never has money, Mike.
My point is, though, he needs to be able, if people are going to call him the GOAT, he needs to do whatever it takes to take over the game. That's all I'm asking.
That's incorrect. If you want to call him the GOAT, it doesn't mean he has to take the last clutch shot
Take over the game.
Take over the game with facilitating. He does that. The ball is in his hand to make the right shot every time he's on the floor. He's in that spot every single time. You're upset because he doesn't look like Kobe. And that's the problem with Laker fans. And I'm a Kobe fan die hard. I'm a Magic fan die hard.
Absolutely.
But I know exactly where to put people and what avenue to put them in. LeBron is working in the same avenue that he plays in. I'm looking for the right shot. I'm surrounding myself with the shooters. I'm not supposed to be shooting unless I'm the one that's open. And he's the most clutch shot. Go look at the shots he's taking. It's when he's making the right decision.
There's only one thing that I say when it comes to LeBron, though, and your points are valid. I do believe that.
Ooh, mine, Andre.
Well, no, I think you guys both have good points.
Okay.
I understand where you're coming from because you want him to take over the game, which I know being a point forward, you have to facilitate. But at the same time, he is leading the league in scoring. So he's not reluctantly leading the league in scoring. Like, he's actually putting an effort to be leading scorer. So he's scoring the ball. So what I'm saying is, won't you just, at the end of games, kind of like put the onus on the officials to make calls? That's what I'm looking for. You ain't got to take the last shot. You ain't got to hit the three in somebody's face. You ain't got none of that. Just take it to the rack. Let's get some free throws. Let's put the onus on the referees, because that's something and you can do. That's in your wheelhouse. It's not out of the realm of your game. There's what I'm saying. That's what I'm looking at. That's when I say take over the game. I don't need you shooting jumpers. I just need you pressing and putting it on the officials to make those fools make calls. or put fools in foul trouble.
All right. So that's my point. Look, it would appear that our listeners and our followers here are in agreement that the season's pretty much over. Let's just get to that. Is the season over?
Absolutely. Okay. What? I said that as soon as Russ was on our roster.
Well, been saying that consistently. However, I do have a question for you because I think Money Mike, you get some slack for your opinion here. Okay. So I'm going to state your opinion.
Thank you.
Okay. Money Mike feels that it's useless to get into the play-in and even maybe the first round if they're not a true contender.
Agreed.
You do agree with that. Okay. Other people feel like if they get in there, they at least have a chance. That's not happening this year, right?
We don't have the clientele to make a push for the finals. And if we're not going to make a push for the ring, by all means, why do we need to be in a play-in? Save it for a sorry, low franchise team that gets excited just to make it in. We're winners over here. Laker Nation, we're winners. We only understand chips, rings, and parades. So if we don't have a chance at that, why risk body injury? Why risk anything like that? Trying to fight to just lose in the semifinals or the first round? Why?
Step hat?
You know, it's funny that because she makes a great point because that's like we should be trying to shut everything down. Like we shouldn't be trying to risk injury to get into a playing game that we know we're about to get smoked. Because like at the end of the day, like I said before, the Lakers haven't won two games in a row in like
all season
pretty much, right? So for me to believe that this team is going to come in and win two games in a row just to get into the playoffs, that's out of the realm of possibilities.
Man,
for me.
I'm going
to
stand up for my Lakers. We won two games in a row, though. Don't lie.
I'm just saying, it's one of those things. We won two games in a row. It's like, oh, when was that?
The beginning of the season. But it's okay. When LeBron came back, we won at least four in a row.
Look, dude, you know what we're talking about here. We have been getting creamed.
You stat pad, right? I'm going to need you to know your stats.
I'm going to just say it right now. We are... What's up?
I would agree. He says Lakers don't deserve to be in the playoffs. With
at the end of the day, like, what are we talking about? Like you said, we're going to go there to get smoked. No, I'm not doing that. But at the same time, I've never seen a team tank with no draft picks. Could they literally tank it?
What are we doing?
Like, if this team was here and you looked at them play ball, you would, they tanking. You'd be saying they're tanking. You would look at the Lakers and say, they are definitely tanking. They are not making any effort. There's no adjustments. These stupid lineups are it's just happening.
The crazy part is they're not tanking, though. That's the funny part. The craziest part about it is I think they're actually trying to win, bro. They're trying that terrible to where we're still losing. But the crazy part about that is, like, we literally are trying to win. Dude. We really are. Literally, the effort when you look on the floor, it's like, oh God,
we're really trying.
This looks really bad. I just think at the end of the season, like, what we're gonna have to do is just go back to the drawing board. We're gonna have to figure out what valuable pieces we're gonna probably cry tears because some pieces we want to stay are gonna be gone.
Right. Like,
because that's
like
what Malik Monk.
AD is the only valuable piece we have.
I think Malik Monk is gonna be gone.
That's my favorite piece this offseason. Yeah. And it
everybody
has been.
Go,
but he's shining in a season full of crap. So, right. I mean,
still, he has, if you look at his percentages, like Malik Monk is actually playing with the chances that he's getting back in Charlotte. He wasn't getting this time. So now that you're getting these minutes, you're letting it shine. Like everybody's going to like this piece off the bench mm-hmm. to just hit a nice mm-hmm. open shot. Mm-hmm. He's not terrible on defense, so he's a good, like, decent, like, you know, spot shooter off the bench, seventh or eighth man off the bench, and he'll be fine. Right. He'll be part of a package. He won't be the person that makes that package move. But I just need – I don't know why we thought THT was the next coming of Christ on the Lakers. I'm sick and tired of, like three broke – Bron lookalikes. We got Russ trying to be Bron. We got THT trying to be Bron. It's like a whole bunch of Bron clones that are subpar in our backcourt. And it's like, and our coach ain't that smart. Like, we just doomed all around. I've been saying Vogel ain't it. Like, Jason Kidd, if you hear me, like, please, somebody zoom in. Like, Jason Kidd, like, we miss you. Do you want to come back?
Oh, my God.
If you want to come back. If you want to come back, this is Andrea talking to you. You are more than welcome. I will walk in Staples Center for you and fire the whole coaching staff to bring you back. That's just me.
That's beautiful. So, but is okay. He was the best option that was on the bench, but is he really the best option for this squad, for an AD LeBron squad?
Absolutely.
Jason Kidd.
Yes, he's a player's coach. He would have been great with Russ, yeah. To be honest.
Yeah, I think yes, because he would have been able to. He is literally a player that actually didn't have a jumper. Like, he survived and made a Hall of Fame career not having a reliable jumper. Like, he got a better jumper as his career went on. But in the beginning, they were playing him for the jumper. Like, shoot that. And he was still getting fools in the triple-doubles and everything like that, still making first-team All-NBA. So he can look at Russ and like, okay, your jumper broke. We can still work with that. We still got pieces. We can work with that. And point guard talking to point guard, yes, I think he would have been instrumental. For Russ in particular, yes, that was a big thing that left. Like, because you got to get in the mind of a point guard, and Vogel is not that.
Money Mike, are we at Vogel at this point? Because and why anybody answer this here? Sorry, Mike. Why is Vogel still here? What exactly has he shown at all this year?
Because there's no other option, Jeff. Right. Where are we going?
Right.
Because where are we going?
At least
I agree with Andrea with that, okay, because great. We saw. You know, what happened with Vogel was under the protocol. And
coaching via Zoom, yeah, Waffles.
Right. And
right.
I forgot the guy. Fizdale came over there, and he didn't win not one game.
That was womp womp. It was like, what are you talking about? It was like, he came
that was
in there.
That was his chance. Like,
okay, we're going to see. He'd been paying attention. Right. Same result.
That was his chance. So, you know, the problem is, and you know, the real elephant in the room for me is, the reason why Westbrook is here, the reason why that trade was made.
Use a hater. Was
I'm not hating.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Look,
use a hater.
I mean, if you're I ain't hating. look, here's the thing. Did that not happen? Did LeBron not suggest to bring Westbrook over? I'm just asking a question.
Do you want me to say it?
Yes.
Yes.
Use a hater. That's how I feel. Yeah, I honestly feel like
but
that.
Did I not?
I understand what you're saying. But guess what? At the end of the day, every superstar gets a sign off. Yeah, I like him.
No, yeah, it's a difference between a sign off.
No, hold on, It was a sign off because Russ said, "I want to come to LA." And it's a sign off. He's not the GM. I get what you're saying. They have a little bit of weight as a superstar. I get it. But your GM has to answer to this, right? I get what you're saying. You just don't like LeBron. No, you want to put all fault on Bron.
No, it's not about. It's not
yes,
about.
Yes, it is.
No, Andrea, it's not about me hating LeBron. All right. In this case,
because he's not a winner, right?
What I'm saying is
because he's not a winner, right?
Let's look at it when there was a conversation about bringing Dennis Rodman to the Bulls. They went to Michael Jordan and asked what he thought, and they said, "Yeah, I think we can manage him." And that was Michael Jordan signing off with Dennis Rodman.
That's a sign off.
That's what happens.
That's a sign off.
That's a sign
off. That's a sign off.
But that's what happens.
Oh, so you're telling me.
They did the same thing with Kobe and Powell.
So wait a minute.
I'm with Money Mike.
So you didn't tell me that LeBron didn't call up Pelinka and say, "Yo, I want Westbrook here."
Where did you hear that? Where's your source?
I mean, because we was going after DeRozan.
Where's your source?
We were talking about DeRozan.
Do you know the story behind DeRozan, why he didn't come? So let's
go
ahead.
We were talking about Buddy Hill.
Okay. Let's clarify, because I actually did the research on this. Cool. So I can correct you.
Okay.
So DeMar DeRozan, the only reason why he's not here is because we refused to give him a third year. He was actually signed off by Bron. Bron wanted him here. But because the Lakers didn't want to sign off on a third year option, that's why he declined being a Laker. That's the only reason why he's not
Buddy
here. Buddy Hield was a Kyle Kuzma straight up. Okay? So at the end of the day, we would have been in the same boat. If it was just Buddy Hield or Russell Westbrook, we still would have been sorry. We still would have been sorry.
I know, I disagree with that because Buddy Hield is not a player that needs
the ball. We still would have been sorry. Who's creating for him?
But listen, he's
when he goes to the bench, who's creating for Buddy?
But look, LeBron could pass the ball to Buddy Hield.
I think
Westbrook needs the ball.
I also think though, with that trade, you do keep valuable pieces. So
you do.
So you keep a Caruso
and KCP.
No, you don't keep Caruso because we didn't want to give him the third year either. Exactly. So let's put all the facts on the table. You guys are missing it.
Okay.
You guys are saying like we could have kept Caruso. We could have kept this. We could have kept. No, we couldn't have.
Okay. Financially, the numbers could have
We worked, refused to go into luxury
that's
one.
What it was. It's not like we couldn't have done it.
Could have KCP.
They didn't want to do it.
Could KCP have
We should have done that.
Oh,
and that would have, freed up, I'm saying, the money that they didn't want to spend extra, it would have freed up because it would have been within the cap versus outside of the cap.
Could KCP have helped?
Yes, KCP could help, but he wouldn't be monumental. Come on now. No, he's KCP. You see what he's doing in Washington.
He would have been playing defense.
Okay, but you see what he's doing in Washington. Where are they?
Hey, nobody's playing defense.
Where are they?
Look, is he playing defense or is the coach not setting him up to play defense? Is it this? Is it that? Look, defense is definitely a team sport. Look, you can put out the effort, but if one player out of the five is not where he's supposed to be, the whole defense breaks down. If the coach isn't driving that, it's just not going to happen. That comes down to the coaching, and you can see the frustration in LeBron. And I think that's where a lot of the quit and a lot of the, you know, goes. Now, a lot of the energy goes. Now, when we say, well, who's the coach you can put in there? You know what? You're right. It doesn't matter. It may it be doesn't. Just a sacrificial call, but at least back in the day, there used to be those where at least someone took one for the team. And there's no reason to keep him. He's not staying next year. He's shown us nothing. Get rid of him, ice him, put physical. And then if we lose the season, you go, well, but we had to do it.
You know the crazy part, Jeff? Phil Jackson's been behind the screens.
Yeah.
Like literally giving his expertise. No, he's been doing it. Whoa. And we're still looking like
Thank
this.
You,
that's
baby.
How
we
you
love it.
That's how you know this team just isn't what I'm telling you. And it's not me coming down on Russ. You just don't fit one. But the moves we had to make when we acquired you set us up for failure.
Definitely
every wasn't. Piece we acquired, every move we made when we got you, it just catapulted up pure chaos.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to say, but he's averaging, you know, 20.
No, I'm not going to say
No, Money Mike, I heard you.
No.
Like, right before the show started, yes, I heard you. Oh, he's averaging this. You know, we're a little bit upset by the turnovers. No, let's be honest with ourselves. You can't have number one and two in turnovers in the backcourt or controlling the ball and being ball dominant and think you're going to make a championship run. It just doesn't work like that.
My only question is, why are we not blaming Westbrook for, I'm sorry, why are we not blaming LeBron for constructing Westbrook to come in here?
Okay, so
like, why are we not doing that?
Honestly,
what we're acting like that even Carmelo, we acting like LeBron in the offseason did not request these changes. Because see, here's my thing: I think we should have kept the team like it was before, because we were a championship caliber team, this and the only reason why we you know didn't win the championship last year was because of injuries.
Yeah.
So if we would have kept the same team together, why would we go ahead and try to blow up a championship caliber team?
That's the only point I agree with you.
Yeah.
This whole night, that's the only point I agree with
now,
you. Because we should have kept core pieces because we knew exactly where our areas of opportunity were. We needed shooters.
Yep.
We needed somebody that could create.
Yep.
And we need to bring back our defense in the paint.
Yep.
That's all we needed to do, those three things.
So
and plug in. But, Money Mike, I feel like you just want to blame LeBron for everything, but we want to negate the man is the scoring leader right now. We want to negate the fact that.
But we lose about 20. Though.
I understand, but he's doing his job is what I'm saying. Yes, he is. AD is not doing his job. Russell Westbrook is not doing his job. Carmelo is not doing his job.
Vogel
is not doing his job. Let's point at people that are not adding to the bucket. Like, that's my problem. We want to put all the blame, and I get it, because we do put the blame on leaders, right? We do. However, I think it's a little unfair because in year 19, for this man to be doing what he's doing, I'm a Kobe fanatic diehard on everything I love, and I'm a Magic diehard, and they didn't do this in year 19, period.
So hang on, if I'm hearing you correctly, we should dumb down our expectations because we have a year 19 superstar. But on the other hand, he is performing up to superstar status.
It's not dumbed down. It's I'm going to need for you guys to stop hating this man.
I'm not hating.
You're a hater, bro. You're a hater.
Like,
I'm going to need you to recognize that if he didn't even come to the table with this 29-8-8, Instead of 20, we'd lose by 40 or 50.
Not if he played defense.
Okay, and whose fault is that?
His.
No, it's not LeBron's fault. Defense is a team thing. You have to be committed to this thing. It's a choice.
Okay, Andrea, let me ask you a question. Did you see...
And Vogel's a defensive coach.
Did you see...
Why are you not mad at him?
What?
Vogel's a defensive coach. Why are you not mad at him?
Yeah. Listen, I'm mad at everything that went on this season.
It don't sound like it, though.
No, but all I'm saying is this. When LeBron's over there, he's closest to the rebound. He didn't box out to nobody. He don't get the rebound. And he's turning to the people behind him on why they didn't get the rebound when he's close to the ball.
Okay, so we mad at Gabriel. We mad at Malik. And we mad at... Okay, so I know what one play out of 82 games you're talking about. I know what one play you're talking about.
Okay, and I know another
LeBron
play.
Bron didn't box out.
But
he was mad. Okay, if you want to be mad at him for being mad at the young players, I agree with that.
Okay, cool.
Don't be mad at Austin Reeves that's giving his heart away in his rookie year. Don't get mad at Malik Monk that is contributing and bringing what he's supposed to bring when you have star players in top 75, if I may add, that are not, they're not up to par.
All right, let me ask you another question. He's over, he's beyond the three-point line. We got like 5 seconds left in the game. We're down by one. He shoots a three-pointer. We don't need a three-pointer. And I know he's really, really smart. Why is this dude not going, driving into the hole, trying to draw a foul, get an and one, maybe a layup, 15-footer? Why is he not doing that? Why is this dude shooting a three-pointer when we only down by one at the end of the game?
See,
I'm asking about...
It wasn't it, down by one.
No, I'm not talking about... I'm not talking
I know
about
what
the
play you're talking about.
Did we need a three?
Yes, we did to tie it.
No, we did not.
Against the Pelicans, yes, we
no,
did.
No, I'm not talking about the Pelicans. I'm talking about maybe they were, I forgot who they were playing, but it was 10, 15 games ago. We were
this
down by one.
This is how I know you nitpick. Because, okay, so you want to nitpick? Okay, so there was a game against OKC where Russ decides to fail on defense, and then he wants to turn it over by dribbling off his foot, and then we lose a 26-point deficit, and it's because of him. Then we're tied for the game, and he shoots an air ball. Russ shot an air ball 3 times this season for a game winner. So why are we not blaming him?
Well, we already
he's top 75, too.
Because he believes that Russ is here for one reason, and that's because LeBron James and or Clutch Sports, let's just put it out there, made the call and said, do not get Buddy Hield. We want Westbrook, and the assumption is that Westbrook only said that he wants to go to L.A., possibly after communications with Clutch and or LeBron to say, we want you as well. So then he went to Washington and said, okay, I want to go, so forth and so on. Then the deal was made. That is the assumption, if I'm correct. Good. There is no proof of this.
So I'm glad you said assumption.
Great. It is assumption.
I don't have to address
it.
No,
so
it is assumption. You're absolutely, but that is the assumption, and that's why there feels that there's blame and why you can say, well, even if Westbrook is not producing, it's Bron's fault. If this guy's not, it's Bron's fault because you're putting the blame there. They're saying that he's the GM. Now, I agree with you because a few shows back, we were talking about Pelinka's style of GM is to not sign anyone. Everyone's plug and play around a couple stars and they're interchangeable as far as he feels. And I feel that's where this team failed because they felt they could blow up everything.
Yeah, why don't we just point that out? Pelinka failed us.
That is the major
Pelinka
problem.
Failed us. So because he's Kobe's man. Well, we don't want to blame him,
secondly,
huh?
Secondly, though, even if LeBron and Clutch did say, hey, this is the better deal, this is what we want, Pelinka's the man that should have made that call, and Brother Genie said, I don't think we should. Right. I said simply on the air, I said, please, Pelinka, we'd welcome you on here to please show us the X's and O's on how you ever thought that that trade was going to help. Because from the start, Andrea, most Laker fans were just like you. They never saw it.
Look,
no one's arguing with Westbrook's ability, but on this team, never.
So
he never fit.
No, he never fit.
I said that from the first day I was here on the podcast.
So one thing I would say, like, this is why I believe this summer is very critical for the Los Angeles Lakers. We don't have a draft pick, but when we think about the direction of this team and where we're going to be, we have to start thinking about organizationally, who do we need to be the one that's calling the shots, being the big GM. We need to find a GM. We need to find a GM. If it's going to be Pelinka, we need to find the coach that's going to work with Pelinka. We also got to have a coach that's going to work with LeBron James as well. We have to have this kind of relationship before, because everything is all out of whack right now. We have a power struggle, and we see it right now. And it's all simmering because we're in season. Once that offseason is going to pop off, you're going to see the power struggle. You're going to see what the influence is in there. And Jeannie Buss going to have a real talk about how she wants this team to be ran, because she's getting angles from Clutch Sports. She's getting it from the Rambi, whatever you want to call them. You get all of that stuff. How is she going to maintain or try to get us where we need to be? Because you can't keep Vogel. And like you guys are saying, our options are limited. So where do we go? And who's going to lead us there? Do we trust Pelinka to find a good coach that's going to be able to work with LeBron? Is LeBron going to pick his own coach? These are a lot of things. That's why I'm saying this summer, and then we need to go ahead and create the team, because no draft picks, so it's all free agency with a lot of, you know, a lot of minimum players. What are we going to do? You know, how are we going to get there?
And we already know Money Mike is going to blame Bron for the no draft picks, right?
Go ahead. I ain't hating.
We know that.
Listen.
Even though this is history for the Lakers, we never do draft picks. But go ahead, since you want to, go ahead.
One thing I've said, even on previous shows, what I hate about the Lakers as organization is that everybody that's good, that performs well, basically are auditioning for another team. You know, so that I don't like. We do not keep our young talent. You know, you guys know, StatPat especially, that I was advocating for us to keep our young talent, because I knew Lonzo would be what Lonzo is right now.
Yeah.
You know, but they, you know, wanted to go and get AD and do things and make those moves at that moment.
How many rings Lonzo got right now? Is he on the way to one right now? Lonzo, is he on the way to one?
Lonzo has been hurt.
Oh, Brandon Ingram, is he on the way to a ring? Is Kuzma on the way to a ring?
Wait a minute. See,
okay. Piece that we gave up, nobody's on their way to a ring. But guess who did win a ring 2 years ago? We did. As soon as we got AD, we won a ring. Point blank, period. We have never
been.
So
why have we not stuck with that team?
We have never been in the grain to cultivate young talent. We always trade them. We've always been that team. So I know we're not blaming Bron for that, too. I know we not. Exactly. You're a hater.
Hey, I am not
a hater. He's a hater.
It's going to take 5 years or more to rebuild this team. So it's going to take 5 years or more to rebuild the Lakers back to a championship team.
Okay, D. So, D, I know you're watching. So why do you think it's going to take 5 years? Why do you think it's going to take 5 years? Is it because we had, you know, somebody that orchestrated the GM to make moves this year? That's why it's going to take 5 years to rebuild?
Somebody, huh?
No, it's because the thing is, the GM has to be his own man, his own person. If it's a woman, it's a woman. If it's a guy, it's a guy. But they have to be their own person and have their own philosophy. They can't just be swayed or, oh, who would you like me to get? And it's like, no, I see what this team needs. I am the architect of this team. That's what the GM is. That's somebody their job.
Somebody needs to act like Jerry West.
Somebody needs to go ahead and
put it. That's exactly what needs to happen.
But we don't have it. And then even though we talk a lot of crap about Kupchak, but Kupchak wouldn't have never made these stupid moves right now.
He would have done that. No, he would have signed Mozgov. Yeah, you're right.
Hold on. Don't forget about that.
Listen, he just came off the book.
Are you going to take
he
that?
He just
back?
Came off.
No, I'm not going to take what.
You better take that back.
No, I'm talking about somebody that actually has the philosophy and structure. Wait a minute, hold on.
Kobe Brown.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, so if we're going to nitpick,
right?
We can't nitpick.
So you're saying that one move,
please, Jeff, get him,
goes
please
ahead and justifies his Laker career.
Thank you.
But LeBron going and winning a title doesn't
thank
justify
you
his.
Oh my gosh! Please, use a hater.
How is that?
I am, first of all, I'm not.
You're a hater.
I'm not hating.
Bro, it's hard.
Hey, Clubhouse,
it's hard.
I know you guys here. You guys blink your mic if you want to.
You is a hater, bro.
You like blink your mic if you have a comment. No, I ain't hating.
I'm just saying.
We just love to keep Clubhouse.
So if you're there, go ahead and tap on the mic, guys.
But tap on the mic if you have a comment.
I understand. This is entertaining.
All I'm saying is this. Like, I think you're right in the sense that the GM needs to be more concerned about constructing a team, taking not getting name brand players, and getting players that's going to work in our system.
Who? Name you a know. Couple.
Buddy Hill would have been great because we needed somebody who could shoot. We did not need a Westbrook. We said at the beginning because beginning of the season, Westbrook is a ball dominant player. The way
can I
he
ask you
is.
A question.
Go ahead.
Demetrius responded really quick. He says the Lakers have to wait for LeBron to retire to rebuild.
Well, I agree with Demetrius.
But that's how that goes. You have an older player, just like when we had Kobe, like in order to rebuild. That's how it goes.
When you guys talked about LeBron coming here, the one thing I said was, I don't want to go through another retirement.
We're going to have to.
But can I ask you guys a question?
But that's what happens with the Lakers, though. We always get a superstar
and
build around them. And when they leave, we go into we either get another superstar immediately or we go into a quick rebuild, but we're not going to be there for long.
We don't rebuild, we reload,
right?
Exactly. It's LA, so I don't understand why we're pissed or upset. But my question to you was, because Money Mike, I'm on your helmet tonight, because this is exactly how I feel. So as soon as we get Buddy Hield, right, because you think he's Jesus Christ for the Lakers, obviously.
Nah, no,
he would have been perfect, right. That's what he just said. LeBron could have passed to Buddy Hield. Okay, I understand. I think he compliments LeBron too. However,
so you agree with me?
Hold on.
Yeah.
But what else would you do?
But see, Buddy Hield was talking about. We were talking about.
If you're talking about the Rosen portion of it, because
that's what I'm saying, so she's like
if you're gonna say DeRozan, she's going to counter with the fact that the organization did not give the third
they turned it down,
so it's not they like that down. Piece would have happened. It wouldn't have happened in what
those
we,
two pieces would have never happened. So who are you pairing with Buddy
and
Hield?
That's the crazy thing.
Remember
about it. I know that
we had three deficiencies. Buddy Hield pacifies half of one because he's very streaky, like a J.R. Smith. Some nights he's on and you can't stop him. Some nights he's terribly off and he won't stop shooting, right? That's what you get with Buddy Hield. But he does compliment Bron. But we know that DeMar DeRozan isn't coming with him, who is the one that we wanted to create their own shot. And when LeBron goes to the bench, we have somebody that can facilitate, like literally get some offense going, because that's where our issue was. Every time Bron went to the bench, we lost our lead and we lost the game.
Advocated for to get Lonzo back because I thought Lonzo.
Was right. Oh yeah, Lonzo is not coming back.
We couldn't pay any.
What was the deciding factor? Do you believe to not giving the third year to a DeRozan, to a Caruso? What is that to say? Is it to align with the end of LeBron's Laker career? What is your thoughts on why that is their strategy?
I don't know. Probably if he would have been 3 years, that extends past LeBron's time frame he would have been here, and they're only operating with what he signed with. So are you going to depend on DeMar DeRozan to carry the Laker brand if LeBron decides to leave? That's probably what they're thinking. On top of that, like the pieces that you want to bring in with him, you might have gone into luxury tax. Are we willing to go into luxury tax for Buddy Hield and DeMar DeRozan? Not so much. So
are we winning?
Listen, what I'm saying is with Buddy Hield, we would probably be in the same damn boat.
Oh, it's just going to take more than just Buddy Hield. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And
let me ask you this. We would apparently be in agreement that our future would have looked brighter the following seasons because he wouldn't have traded as many assets as we did for Russell Westbrook. So while this season immediately may not have been salvaged or rectified, immediately going forward, we wouldn't have sacrificed quite as much. So to me, this is going to sting well past Russell Westbrook's tenure as a Laker.
But that makes sense. But this is Laker. This is what Laker do.
They go for it.
Laker Nation does.
I mean, look at if you're watching
outside
time.
Of Russ. I wasn't a fan when he came here, but this is what we do. We trade off our picks because we want it now. So
go for it. And that's the Jerry Buss way. If you're watching Winning Time, he's a gambler. He
now,
gambled it. Go ahead.
Now I do understand how, like, of course, Buddy Hield on his own wouldn't be the fix. However, what we also have to also realize that if you have one spot solidified, then you can pay attention to other spots that need fixing. And wing depth is something that was neglected this whole time, this whole offseason. If you have Buddy Hield in there, then you will then start to look for this wing defender that we sorely lack. And that's the reason why we're getting eat up. Because LeBron ain't going out there and guarding the biggest guy out there, the small fours of the world. He's not doing that. He ain't
guarding nobody.
He's not going, but I'm saying, but he's just not, his foot speed, and he shouldn't. But we don't even have the defense to mask it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't even have that. We don't have a person that take the load off of that person to get the guy that's 6'9" that can go ahead and defend that. But that's what I'm saying. That's a GM situation because we don't have those people. So if we're saying that we get Buddy Hield, okay, then maybe if we did get Buddy Hield, then we'll go ahead and maybe we look for kind of some kind of like, you know, person that we can get on the outside, you know, playing as like a tweener, 3-4 kind of
guy. In year 19, was Kobe guarding the best of the best assignment?
Look, in the year 19, Kobe has spurts where honestly, right?
Man, I'm a Kobe fan through and through, but I promise you the hate for Bron, like in year 19, dude, you're just not taking the best defensive. You're not doing it.
No, Achilles.
Giannis don't even do it in his prime right now. He don't even take the best defensive assignment.
No, that's wild.
So, like, come on.
And Giannis definitely
said that from the start, though, why you didn't like Giannis.
Well, yeah, because he didn't want to take on and he was freaking defensive player of the year.
His coach told him not to.
Who does that? This is when
we as Laker fans are very, very spoiled.
Yeah, of course
we are. And it's okay. I'm part of Laker Nation too, and I know I'm spoiled. I know how to differentiate the two, and I'm trying to bring you out. Like it looks like poltergeist over there. I'm trying to bring you out.
I just have
walk
a question.
Out of the Carolan. Like I'm literally trying to help you because at the end of the day, like. Giannis is winning. He just won a chip with not defending the number one option, right? He just won. And then they're literally in the seat to be Eastern Conference champions this year.
Okay.
Without that same assignment.
So no. Let me say
go, this. Go.
So when they were in the bubble, I was eating up Giannis. Y'all right? I was like, this dude.
You question his heart.
He had no heart. He didn't, you know, let Jimmy Butler, you know, he didn't guard him. But then the following year, what was it, game two or three? And Giannis just took over the rest of the series.
Yeah.
The ball was him. He knew what he had to do. He drove to hole every time. And he took over the series. They had no answer, he made sure the team was not going to lose anymore. And you saw it like by game three, you're like, oh, this series is over. Milwaukee's going to win. I have
something to say about that. Giannis is a dominant player. He's not a great shooter. He's not. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I'm going to make something very clear. We need to stop expecting the unexpected from these players. Just like we expect, man, if Ben would just shoot, he's not a shooter, right? If Giannis would just create a great mid-range shot, he won without it. Like, if we would just understand what people actually are great at and build around it, we would be in a better place. I think we keep expecting. So it all boils down to, let's fast forward. We know what LeBron's strong suit is. Why are we trying to build a team that doesn't add to his strongest suit? That's my problem. We don't have no shooters. We have Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore. We got Avery Bradley, THT. We didn't build anything that complements LeBron's game.
Let me pose this question then really quick. Then by using those standards, LeBron's actually bit his tongue and held back this year against the coach and against the front office for not putting a team around him that can succeed. Would you agree with that?
I'm waiting on you.
Go ahead.
She's going to counterpunch you, dog.
Well, I really was interested in what her answer was because I really believe personally that LeBron orchestrated the team that we have. And once he saw that it did not work, he just removed himself for being any part of it. I also will say this about LeBron. What I, and like I said, I've never been a LeBron fan. That's very true. What I hated, though, was when I used to watch him in Cleveland and Miami, whatever, he used to always drive to the hole, and everybody used to get out of his way.
What year was that?
You know, 15, you know, 16, you know.
There's something you expect. There's one thing that's not
my question
is, that's undefeated is Father Time, bro. He's in year 19.
Yeah,
you can't expect Cleveland Bron to be L.A. Bron. You can't.
So we can't expect him to drive to the hole.
Yes, you can, but you can't expect the same power. Now. The same. Yes, he does.
Not at the same velocity
because he's smart.
Yeah, but
first and foremost, if you go look at his percentages, his shooting percentage from beyond the arc is very high.
I don't care about that. And I'm going to tell you why.
Why not?
Well, because it's that Pat.
I
need you to agree with me. I want
LeBron. He's always throwing out that lifeline.
Oh, shit.
What do you need a lifeline for? We hear Money Mike. Talk to me.
Andrea. I want LeBron to affect the game. You know, if he drives to the hole, he's going to get the opposing team in foul trouble. If you get that opposing team in foul trouble because they're going to try to stop him or block a shot, something like that. Now, if he gets three fouls on the opposing team, now the other coach has to make adjustments.
Just let me know when you're done.
If LeBron is out there shooting jumpers and he's not getting into the body and drawing fouls, then that means the coaches don't have an opportunity, don't even need to make adjustments.
You done?
He's done.
Go ahead.
You're done? Okay. Right. First and foremost, he's in year 19. I don't know how many
times
I need to say that.
Why are we talking
about
year 19?
So hold on. I'm about to explain.
Why do we care about that?
Because it has something to do with the wear and tear on the body, bro. Father Time is undefeated. If this man is going to the rack, how many collisions do you take?
Everybody gets out of his way
career. No, they do not.
He's been getting hit and not getting calls lately.
They don't get out of his way.
Hey, you know what?
He's been getting hit, dude. And
he doesn't get no calls, but at the same time, he's a Laker. So
I'm saying. You can't expect this man to be getting knocked down in year 19 and popping up like a spring chicken.
Gosh.
I'll let you finish. You cannot expect this man to just pop up like a spring chicken in year 19, especially if you want to make a playoff run. He has to conserve his body. So that's where your youngsters like AD need to come in and put.
We don't want him.
Okay.
Doing nothing.
So this
I
is
want
where.
Him shooting
no, but listen.
All the
let
time.
Me just finish my take. Let me just finish my take. This is where your youngsters like AD and Russ, they need to crash the paint. They need to bang bodies and make their free throws. Yeah. That's where the problem is. LeBron shouldn't have to bang bodies like this in year 19. He should be sitting back as a third option right now and letting them eat. Why? Because AD has shown he can produce the same numbers the year we won the chip. He had the same numbers as Bron. Okay, then you bring in Russ, who's a triple-double king, right? He gets to the rack. He's quick. He draws contact. He's strong. Why aren't you doing it? These are the two
because
people
he's
we
not
need
getting,
to,
he's not
but
getting
these
the
are the two people we need to be holding accountable, not expecting LeBron to be Superman at this age.
So we don't hold LeBron accountable for nothing.
Yes,
What are we holding accountable for?
Can I pose a question? I'd like to pose a question. Yeah. Let's start with our boy, Stephat. There was one quality about Kobe that we all liked, and we discussed it. That when the Lakers weren't winning, when his team wasn't winning, he wasn't laughing, he wasn't celebrating, he wasn't smiling. He looked like he cared that the Lakers were losing. LeBron simply does not give that off. He just doesn't sell that. I think that rubs a lot of Laker fans.
That's
the
only thing I agree
way.
With.
I think that rubs a lot of Laker fans the wrong way, and it gets misrepresented as, well, he just doesn't care. He's producing, you know, all these shows and movies. What is your take on that? Do you notice it, number one, and does it rub you the wrong way, Stat?
It does. And I will tell you, because like we've talked before, we're all lifelong Laker fans. And so if we were around when Magic came down. We could look at winning time and see how Magic is like kind of like jovial and kind of like loose goosey and not really taking it serious. And then Kareem got him and it clicked. And then once it clicked for them, you know, it actually Magic became this assassin. He became a person that actually was just wanted to go ahead and tear your heart out, wanted to win at all costs. And Kobe Bryant, the same thing. No laughter. Go into somebody's house, take their money, come on out. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you see some guy that's the face of your franchise that looks like he can care less if he wins or lose. And that's
like he's winning anyways.
And the thing about it though, is like, because we got a lot in Lakerland, we have a lot of like new fans. These are LeBron only fans. So right. We have a lot of that.
Thank you, Daniel.
That has infiltrated into our stuff.
Yeah, I want to hear from Daniel. Since he wanna point me out, it's not that. Since he wanna point me out, shout out to Ron Artest brother Daniel. Since you wanna point me out talking about it's not that simple, Queen, what's see. Not that simple? So I can debate respond, you from online. Respond.
And we have to get you back on the show, Daniel, really soon as well.
We need to invite Daniel real quick exactly. And have him just come on the stream yard.
Does that rub you the wrong way? And do you notice that?
Absolutely, man. Look, you know that the rule is, in the NBA, you have to play at least 70% of the games in order to be eligible to get the scoring title. So now this dude made sure that he got the 70% threshold and decided not to play the next two games.
He's such a hater.
Okay, help me understand this. Help me understand this. What am I missing? Am I not stating facts?
Why'd you change your shirt? Didn't you have a LeBron shirt on earlier?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
You're a hater. Dude.
No, but let me ask you a question. What fact am I wrong about? I mean, did LeBron do these things?
What's wrong about it is you want to blame Bron for everything that's going wrong this year. There are so many pieces that are wrong this year, and LeBron is not.
Okay. So that being said, Andrea. So that being said,
let me give Mike.
He actually has valid points in if he's not putting all the blame on LeBron. At the same time, he's making the points where I think that LeBron James should be accountable for some of the stuff that's happening. So I don't want to absolve him. Like, I want this to be clear on this show that we're not absolving. We might not be blaming him, but we can't absolve him neither.
I'm not blaming him fully is what I'm saying. If you want him to have some accountability,
he has to have some accountability.
If you want him to have some accountability for bringing Russ here, by all means, yes, I agree. Okay, whoop-de-doo. Yes, he is for some of it. But when that man gets on the court and he's number one in scoring, that means he's lifting some of his weight, right?
Well, he's trying to correct the mess up that he did with the Westbrook.
It doesn't matter what the perception behind it. What I'm saying is, we're trying to find caveats on the side, on the right and left. What I'm saying is he's carrying his weight. If he's leading the league in scoring, that means he's doing his job. And it's not like it's only scoring. He's rebounding and assisting as well. The whole team ain't playing defense. That's a team assignment.
Okay, so I have a question.
No.
So you don't feel at all.
No.
No, I'm just asking.
You a hater.
I'm not trying to say hater. You don't feel at all that this guy has been, and I will say, let me say this. In the second half of the All-Star of the break, so post All-Star, you don't feel that he is more engaged in trying to find individual accolades versus winning? Because I feel like, especially in the second half.
First and foremost, we all knew, right? So this is my answer to you. We all knew this team wouldn't win a championship. We knew this, right? After All-Star break, right? The man, go look at his numbers, go look at his points. Rebounds and no. Money Mike, before you answer, he has lifted his weight since All-Star break. That's the best part of his career this year is after All-Star break.
But they didn't translate to wins. And I think he's
there's
more...
no way we're winning. The team is trash, Money Mike.
Okay, let me ask you a question. How come when Aaron Donald there, all of a sudden he puts the team on the back, scores 56 and wins? How come...
Are we talking about the Rams right now?
Yes, because when the Rams are there,
where did we go?
What I'm telling you is when Sam Bradford is there, he goes
put Are the team on the back. Are you telling me Aaron Donald won the game for us? Not yes. Cooper Kupp?
No, listen.
Not Von Miller right next to him?
No. You're not listening to what I'm trying to tell you.
Come on,
what
man.
I'm trying to tell you, okay, Andrea. What I'm trying to tell you, and you tripping guys saw this.
On LeBron, a
no, listen to me for a moment.
He's tripping.
Andrea, well, what I'm telling you is when Sam Bradford was in the audience, LeBron went up to him, took over the game, won the game, and then went to Sam Bradford and said, hey, I had to put a show on for y'all.
His name is Matt Stafford?
Oh, I mean, Matt Stafford.
Okay, cool. Yeah. As long as we're on the same page, I wanted to make sure.
My bad.
I just wanted to make sure we were talking about the same person.
I have a question really quick.
I'm just asking.
Are we?
No. We are. Yeah, I want to know. I want to know.
Ben, what? What were you calling him?
I want to know.
Jerry didn't play.
My question is this.
Matt Stafford.
Why can LeBron play like that when the Super Bowl champions are in the house and he has to put on a show for them? Why can he not play like that all the time? That is the LeBron James.
So I'm just going to ask you a question because I'm just want to just throw it out there because I don't want to be like hating or anything like that. But I want to ask you, are you saying he needed to score 55 points a game?
Exactly what he's saying.
No,
that's what he did when they're in the house.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. If you're saying that he needs to go ahead and put on the show, which I'm saying, the show was 50-something points in that game.
So, Ashley, can I ask you a question?
Don't do that.
I'm sorry,
don't
Pat. Do that. I'm sorry.
If you want to get anywhere on this show, you ain't going to try to disrespect me.
Okay, so, Pat.
So you can we in this bitch.
Okay, so you're going to come out and be correct right now.
Okay, we're going to establish something right
so
now.
Pat,
no, we're not doing
man,
that.
Man, I love you, Pat.
You better
come
rewind
okay,
and come at me. Thank you. Bring it back now.
Anyway.
No, we don't.
Hey, you ain't finna call me. Never mind. I ain't got to talk to Pat. Anyway.
That's right.
So what I was saying, furthermore, I don't know if anybody's ever played in a game and scored 56 to 60 points. I dare you to try it again the next night or the following night.
Kobe did it.
That's one of the hardest things to do. Back-to-back 50 and 60-point games. And I'm still – it's not an excuse, but you have to understand this man is in year 19. Okay. 50 to 60 points, and you want him to do this over and over again?
We're winding down. Hang on. We're winding down the show, guys.
Get mad.
And I have one question. I have one question to ask, and this is just a yes or no question. We're just going to go around the room really quick. Okay. We'll start with Money Mike, okay, because you're the resident hater here.
I'm not hating on LeBron.
Okay, listen. If before LeBron came, if you knew the deal was that he's going to bring one title in his tenure here, would you have taken that and said, well, we're going to get that one. Who else is coming here? Remember, at the time, we couldn't even seem to get a meeting with a top free agent. So my question is,
thank you, Jeff.
Going back in history, would you have, it's a yes or no, would you have been taking that deal and said, oh, you're going to at least guarantee get one? Would you have been happy with that? Yes or no?
See, that's a hard answer.
No, it ain't.
No, it's not.
No, it ain't.
No,
don't do that.
That's why it's hard for you to answer.
You know what you felt.
Nobody wanted to.
I'm going to be real.
I'm taking it.
You know what you felt. Man, say what you're going to say. If you're going to say no, if you're going to say, well, you want it more, then say you want it more. I'm being honest with you. I would have took the one.
Thank you.
Okay. I would have just
won. Because we were staring down the bottom of the barrel for nothing for two decades.
When he came and the piece that we had, and we would have had to make
listen, the chicken, team that I watched, you know, Kobe chicken salad out of chicken. Ooh.
And we got one championship out of that? Bro, I'm taking it and running. The fact that we were able to parlay. No, what I'm saying is, because he didn't say that it was the AD domino. He said when we got him at first, would you would have taken it? You didn't know AD is coming. Now we know AD is coming, and now we expect to have 2, 3, 4, all that kind of run. But when it was just him, and it was like, who coming with me? And he just was on some Jerry Maguire shit.
And you know, and everybody was like, and
nobody was like,
LeBron
basically,
is that
he was like,
that
so
people want to play
it
with.
Was just like that. And that's, and okay. LeBron said,
so that's a yes for Steph. Yes. That's a yes, I'm assuming.
So for me, I would have taken it. And the only reason why is I remember what it looked like when Kobe was here with our scrubs, the scrubs that you wanted to grow. The ones that you wanted to grow, Money Mike? Mm-hmm. The ones you said, like Jordan Clarkson was here and stuff like that, who's blossoming in Utah, and we still didn't win with him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we had all these pieces, and we still weren't winning. And I think I would have taken it because we literally could not buy anybody to get here. Not one person wanted to play in LA. Then all of a sudden, we got Magic that brings Bron. Like, yeah, we the Lakers. We need star power. We need somebody here. Yeah. I would have taken it.
Yeah.
Money. The question is to you. Would you take it? You know, I asked Mike the same question last month, and he said, yes, he'd take that championship.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't.
Who is that?
Who
is that?
Who doing that?
Who said that?
Who
said
that?
That is D right there.
Who's D, bro?
Money, Mike, you got pulled. Your car got pulled.
Look at
your car got pulled. Now he's smiling. Look at this. Look at his face. Oh, God. Oh, shoot.
That's why.
Oh, my God. Now he can't sit up straight. Look at him.
What is happening?
I love that the Lakers have tied the Celtics to number 17. I appreciate that. But these other years are killing
me. Why are you doing that?
These other years are killing
me. He got called out. So we'll see that.
And Demetrius. You know,
we'll talk later.
What are you doing?
Shout out to Demetrius. Thank you for bringing clarity.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for making it plain.
Thank you, man. Hey, you need to say it off the record. For now, time, you can just say off the record. You going to come in the show.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't be talking about stuff we'll be talking about off the record.
You know what? Hey, much love to you, D, man. You're a big supporter of, Profane Nation and Profane Studios.
I can't get mad at you.
Child, and called out your facts. My God. Ooh, you was going to lie, too. I saw it.
I love the fact that we tied the Celtics. I hate that we have to watch these other seasons.
I love that. He was about to lie.
Thank you, Demetrius. That was awesome. All right. Well, you guys know that as we finish the show, we always finish with a segment we call Money Mike's Out of Bounds. Money Mike is going to go ahead and share his thoughts or opinions on a topic, and he's going to let us know. We're going to let him know if he's in bounds or out of bounds. Money Mike, you have the mic.
Why are we laughing?
Because you were shaking your head like this, and Demetrius said, you lying. Yo, that was funny. Hey, Demetrius, you're great for that because he was going to lie. You feel me? His whole face, he was going to lie. I saw it all over his face.
All right, so look.
Money Mike's out of bounds. All right.
Money Mike out of bounds. Okay. So look.
All right. Oh, that was great.
I don't know if you guys saw it though, but recently, Manu, I guess it was announced this week, Manu Ginobili is the first ballot Hall of Famer, right? And I think there's something wrong. In so many ways. First of all, let's use LeBron. We see LeBron's greatness, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Manu Ginobili literally came off his bench almost his whole career. He was sixth man of the year. He has only two all-star appearances. There's no way, in my opinion, that Manu Ginobili should be a first ballot in the Hall of Fame by definition of the greats that have been first ballot Hall of Famers. I think one or two things need to happen. We need to really separate, really what a Hall of Famer is in the NBA or not, and not let everybody in, because I feel like that's just a huge reach. Am I out of bounds for saying that Manu Ginobili should not be a first Hall of Famer? Because I don't think he's worthy of that.
Let's go straight to Andrea, please.
I have a question before I answer that. Is Ben Wallace a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Okay. Manu Ginobili deserves to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. If Ben Wallace can make it, he can.
I don't think Ben Wallace should be a first ballot.
Okay, but he did.
He was. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why I think the Hall of Fame is like watered down.
We know it's not the NFL. We know it's not the same, right?
Yeah.
To me, Manu Ginobili was very crucial with Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. He was that piece. He was a benefactor. If he wasn't there, they wouldn't have won all them championships. Mm-hmm. And I agree wholeheartedly, he should be a Hall of Famer, first ballot. That's just me and my, so I think you're out of bounds you have been all night. So.
All right, let's go to StatPad, please.
You know what? I think you're in bounds. And only reason why I'm saying that, because now you're opening a door with the Ori argument. So, because I'm an advocate for then Ori got to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, hell no.
Wait. We're talking about plays that he's made. We're talking about contributions. We're talking about ring count. We're talking about all of that stuff. The only thing that I would say about Manu Ginobili is because he was sixth man of the year and he did have those instrumental moments in the playoffs. However, that shouldn't constitute first Hall of Famer. Same thing, same, also part of this bunch, Tim Hardaway. I don't believe Tim Hardaway is the first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, I don't really believe that. Like, if you're of your position, and if you're like the 25th or 26th greatest point guard in your position, are you really first ballot? Like, did you really transcend the game? You didn't do that. So I don't, I think this whole class,
TMC,
if you look at it, is yes, but and he was not the one. It was Mullen, it was Richmond, and then it was Timmy. So, and yes, he was the first letter, but it was only because
the abbreviation. That's all I know. TMC.
That was only because he was, because they were doing run DMC and a TMC, and they did that. But when it came to the pecking order, he ate third.
Go ahead.
Okay. So he's inbounds.
No, he's inbounds.
Dude. Out of bounds. I'm going out of bounds.
Thank you.
I just believe that Manu Ginobili's contribution to the game, contribution to that team, but also foreign influence at the time. He helped bring global awareness to the game at the time.
But that's the Yao Ming.
You're right. And that's also when you're
That's the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So when you're looking at, you know, his influence on the game,
it's
that
not only the NBA.
That pushes it over.
Yeah, that's why I asked if we
they missed the boat.
Change that because his thing, Clubhouse, Blink and Mike, if you guys have a comment on that. But see, I guess my issue is when we watch games and we hear announcers talking about that's the first ballot Hall of Famer, they never would have ever said that in time.
Correct.
Manu Ginobili.
So right. Is Tony Parker a Hall of Famer?
I mean, based on...
Is he now, currently?
No, he's not.
No.
So I'm saying he has to be.
Right.
Well, because if Manu gets in, there's no way Tony Parker is not going to get in. He has to get in.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah, like,
starting.
But the argument what I'm making in that, when I think Hall of Famer, and I know Tony Parker's good. I know he's good.
He also was a Finals MVP. At least.
Yeah, you see that you gotta have that. but Ginobili also was Finals MVP though.
I don't think Ginobili ever was. I could look it up though.
All right, help us out in the comment section or on Clubhouse if you know.
Tony Parker was for sure.
I know Tony Parker was.
All right, so
Duncan got
let's
four.
Go ahead. Is anybody on Clubhouse?
Finals MVPs?
There? Anybody on Clubhouse?
Everyone
have a comment?
Just having fun listening.
Ivan, you there?
Ivan's there. All right.
We go.
There we go.
Hey, Ivan, you think Manu Ginobili should be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I would say so.
Okay. I guess I'm out of bounds.
We'll see. Then, you know, I would imagine the question Money Mike is posing then is how do you – there should be some kind of separation between the Kobe's, LeBron's, Jordan's.
And that's where it's blurry.
And then a Manu Ginobili. And when you have the first ballot. So I understand your point. That's
I think the NBA should just have an NBA Hall of Fame.
We will pass that. That should
No, I mean, maybe that's what they should do. Because my whole thing is, like, I'm not trying to discredit anybody's contributions or things like that. It's just, like, literally, we all know that LeBron James is the first ballot Hall of Fame.
We know what that looks like.
And we know, like, and everybody's talking about that, been talking about it for, like, the last 10 or 15 years. That never was brought up that Ben Wallace would be or Manu Ginobili would be.
It's watered down.
Take, for example, a person that didn't win anything, pretty much, T-Mac. But when you saw T-Mac on that court, T-Mac was, like, on the real. Like, there were some times you were like, man, I don't know. He looking like he could do what Kobe can do. Like, he had that same kind of impact.
Kobe would tell you that.
And you know what I'm saying? Right. But that's where when I'm looking at the eyeball test and you seeing that, oh yeah, that was that looks like.
I mean,
that's what a first ballot Hall of Famer looks like when you're looking at like somebody like a T-Mac.
But he doesn't have the accolades.
But his game was what it was, and that would put him in it because it was so different. He really freaked that tweener role, that 6'9", that lanky, can do it all, ball handle. Like he was pretty much Grant Hill on steroids. Like he was like that dude, you know. Yeah.
His
whip bounce.
His NBA was, he's a 4-time NBA champion. We know that. 2-time NBA All-Star. 2-time All-NBA third team. So that was the highest he's ever been.
Can I ask you a question?
As a six-man?
Huh? I'm going to hold you right there. Is Kyrie Irving a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I mean,
yep.
Based on...
You said yes, right?
Yep. Based on his criteria, yeah.
What do you say? Yes?
Yeah.
Go look at his stats. Go pull them up. Accolades and read them, please.
But he's not done playing.
No. Read off Kyrie's stats, please. Bring them up. Since you said that, you said yes and you said no to Manu. Go bring up Kyrie's stats.
And you've got about 20 seconds.
Thank you.
Because we're going to go ahead and...
Okay, we got to go. Thank everybody. We're coming.
We're going to want keep you keep talking. We're going to go ahead and thank everybody right away. Actually, what I'd like to say is I would like to thank Pure Life Wellness, Alternative Wellness Center in Chatsworth, California. Thank you so much. If you guys get a chance, head on out to Chatsworth. Stop by Pure Life Alternative Wellness Center. They're going to take care of you. They have a great storefront there. You can get all your products. They have great CBD products, great edibles, everything that you need. So go ahead and stop by there. And you'll have a great time again. Pure Life Alternative Wellness Center. Money Mike, what's your
so NBA I just want to give everybody a prelude. So he said Manu Ginobili is not
a first ballot.
A first ballot Hall of Famer, but he said Kyrie is. So he's about to name off Kyrie's accolades.
NBA champion, 7-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star MVP, all NBA second team, 2-time all NBA third team. An NBA Rookie of the Year, an NBA All Rookie First Team.
Sounds like Manu's is heavier than his.
He won the NBA 3-point contest champion.
Okay, that's sounds like one. Manu's. All right,
we're gonna say that's the but, accolade but keep in that mind, sends him over the top. There,
keep in mind, Kyrie. Kyrie is still playing.
Correct, and Manu was more successful. Okay.
Kyrie looks like a Hall of Famer when you see his game on the court.
No, I don't think it's okay.
Here's my one more question.
Everybody,
I gotta say this. Are the announcers gonna say Kyrie is a first ballot?
Who cares what the announcers say? All right, so thank you guys so much for joining the Profanity Nation podcast. We appreciate it, Andrea. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We love having you here. On behalf of my co-hosts, we have Money Mike, Stat Pat. I am Simsta. Thank you so much. Please be sure to stop by the Pure Life Alternative Wellness Center. I'd like to thank a few people who chimed in. Daniel Artes, Big Baby Jonathan, Demetrius Harold. We had a few other people comment. Here we go on Demetrius. Demetrius was definitely the comment of the show tonight. Thank you so much. Everybody out there, Big Baby, on Harani, Obam, sorry if I mispronounced that, but thank you for watching. Everybody, thank you so much. This audio is coming out on Tuesday on all podcast platforms. We'll be there. Thank you to Infinity Studios for the incredible operations. Our producer, Dwan, our cameraman, Theo, we appreciate it. We'll be back here next week. We have a great show for you next week. We have Nick Hamilton in the building. We got Nick Hamilton. He's going to get on you, too. Man. So we can't wait for that.
April, y'all got an extra seat?
Can
I
come back? Yeah, we get you right
here.
Yeah,
you can come back.
I can't wait.
April is absolutely jam-packed, everybody. So be sure to tune in.
Come through.
Be
sure to jump right in.
On Instagram. Because we're jam-packed with guests, and we're going to go ahead and break the lid. We're going to break the lid off Winning Time. We have the people that were there. We are bringing people on the show that were there, and they're going to tell us how true the portrayals of Jerry West, Jerry Buss, Magic Johnson, true those are. I can't wait. We're going to get to the truth. Wait to do it, so be sure to keep up to date, and we'll be back with you again for Profanity Nation Podcast. Yes. Thank you. We're out.
Peace.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got Money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and Money Making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.